morning, everybody. My name is Daryl, one of the members here at the church. I've worked with the youth in the past, and I've been an elder in the church. And I would just like to take a second or two to say hello and welcome back to all the Bible school students that have been away, and they are back now. I want to start off this morning with a quick story from my Bible school days, way back in the day, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. The year was 1984, and I had been in Bible school for 2 years, studying to take some pastoral studies. And during the first year, I met a guy. For this morning, I'll just call him Dennis. And maybe you know a guy like Dennis. He was just good at everything. He was good at sports, and he was academic, and he was just really good at everything. And I latched on to him, and we sort of became friends. And somebody in year two decided that it would be a good idea to have a pool tournament. Downstairs in the recreation area, there was a pool tournament, and there was a dartboard and a set of weights, that sort of thing. And so me and Dennis, we thought, let's sign up for this. So we signed up for it. And I mean, I knew because I'd played Dennis in pool before. And anyways, we got started, and I think I lost pretty quick, and Dennis was doing very well with his opponents. And I think it was the semifinals that I was watching and Dennis was playing in. And somebody, I forget who, broke the balls, and they scattered everywhere. And they each took a couple of turns. And at one point, it was Dennis's shot, and I saw just this sweet little ball right by the corner pocket, just this far away from the corner. And I saw Dennis measure it up, like so, and then he backed away and he went down to this end of the table where all of the problem balls were down here. There was stuff hidden. There was too close. He couldn't get at him, and he started measuring these shots down here. And I stood back and I wondered, why isn't he doing that shot? But he's measuring the hard shots down here. And finally I said to him, well, I know what I'd do, and there's other people watching. And he says, what would you do? And I said, well, I'd take that ball in the corner pocket. And Dennis said, no, I can do that shot anytime. That's an easy shot. And I knew what he meant, because I've seen him do bank shots before. I've seen him skip the ball over another ball to make a shot, and I've seen him put spin on the ball and go around the ball to make a shot. So I understood what he was saying. He said, no, I can get that shot anytime. And then he went down to this end of the table where all the problem balls were, and he started picking them off one after the other. And I don't remember if he sank them all at one shot, but if he missed, he made sure that he left the cue ball in an impossible shot for his opponent. Finally, he took all care of all of the hard stuff down this end of the table, and he went back to the easy shot. And before I finish the story, we're going to pray, and I'll revisit this story a little later on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I continue to marvel at your word, the truth contained in it, Lord. How you lead, how you guide through your word. I pray this morning, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would allow the words to be clear and that you would speak through those words to us all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning's message is entitled, Take the Proverbs Challenge. I want to tell you what the Proverbs Challenge is. And then we're going to get on with the message from there. So the Proverbs Challenge is something that I'm going to start June 1st. That's today. It's going to take 2 years, and I want to invite you to join me in this Proverbs Challenge. I'm going to take 2 years to read through the book of Proverbs between 12 and 20 times. Okay? This is something outside of your regular Bible reading and devotions that you do, much like the over the horizon that we do at the church. You give above and beyond. This is a little extra reading over the next little bit. And I want to tell you why. I want to challenge everybody to do that. So I'm going to go buy, 20 colored pencil crayons. And the first time I read through the book of Proverbs, I'm going to take, let's just say, an orange and make a little one by a verse that stands out to me or really, really speaks to me. And then the next time through it, 6 weeks to 8 weeks later, I'm going to take another pencil, different color, and make a mark as God speaks to me through the reading of the book of Proverbs. Okay, I'll leave that aside for a little minute, and I'll talk about the fact that our church just came through a series called A Road Trip with Jesus. And what that we were talking about here is, if you could take a road trip with Jesus and had an opportunity to ask him a question, what question would you ask him? And this is a great segue into the book of Proverbs, because if I was taking a trip with Jesus, I would ask him a question. Jesus, how do you know what to do? How do you know what to do? And many times as Christians, we get together and we are talking about a subject, or we are talking about a struggle that a person is going through, or maybe it's something that we are going through. And we often say, well, after all, what would Jesus do? And as Christians, we all agree with that. Yes, I agree. What would Jesus do? And so many times I've got to be honest here. I'm standing back thinking, what would Jesus do? Really, what would he do in this case? Let's look at the book of Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to start here. This is basically an introduction to the book of Proverbs. So I'm going to start reading at verse 1, and we're going to do the first 7 verses. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now, when you start here and you see the word for, because this is where it starts in verse 2, it starts with the word for. When you start a sentence with for, you need to expect an answer afterwards. Like, for instance, for a great church, come to UDAC. For a great car mechanic, in a couple of years, talk to Jaden Moore. That sort of idea, okay? When you start a sentence with for, it means there's usually an answer coming. So let's bear that in mind as we start in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, that is, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. I want to make a rather bold statement this morning and try and prove that from Scripture. I believe that Jesus was well versed in the book of Proverbs. And that's why I want to take 2 years of my life to start to study a little bit more of the book of Proverbs, because the more I read the book of Proverbs, the more I see the principles behind the thought process of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So I've gone through the book of Proverbs in my life quite a few times. And for me, I see what I refer to as the big three. There's three words in here that really stand out to me. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Those are the big three. And for me, I see what I refer to as the little six. These are six other words that I see in the book of Proverbs that I see in the life of Christ that make me believe that he has been through the book of Proverbs many, many times. And could it be that he once did the Proverbs challenge himself and went through that book many, many times? the little six are discipline, discretion, discernment, perspective, prudence, and perseverance. I see these in the life of Christ. Now let's go through this and try and see this scripturally so we know and understand it's not just some guy talking. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I believe. Deuteronomy 6, 4. A very, very familiar verse in the Jewish culture. I'm going to read it for you right now. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit down at home or when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. A very, very important verse in Israelite culture in those days. Mary and Joseph, two young parents who were raising a family, would have known this verse, would have felt convicted about passing on the truths of Scripture to their children, of the which Jesus was the oldest. There is some, at least 30 times, and I'm throwing the number out there because I've made a mark in my Bible every time I read it. Approximately 30 times in the first 7 books of the Bible, the writer says, remember the commands of the Lord and pass them on to your children. This would have been an absolute priority for Joseph and Mary to make sure that Jesus was reading the Scripture, was becoming, Scripture was becoming ingrained in his being, in his thought process. The book of Psalms 1, verse 2, and I'll paraphrase here, it says that the man of God delights in the law of the Lord, and on that law does he meditate day and night. A young boy like Jesus would have wanted to do all of this. Now let's prove this from Scripture. Let's go to the book of Luke for a minute. Luke chapter 2. Remember the story of when Jesus was a boy. He was 12 years old. And he was found, when his parents and him, his family was in Jerusalem, he was found a couple of days later after Mary and Joseph left. They wondered, where Jesus? And they had to go back to Jerusalem. These are the words that are written about Jesus. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Skipping down the page a little bit to verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What I read in there are the big three. The big three words found in the book of Proverbs. As a 12-year-old boy, these characteristics, these attributes were being built into him. It says that they were amazed at his understanding and his answers, and I'm assuming here that answers meant that he had knowledge. And then the observation was that this young boy was growing in wisdom. Amazing, the big three. I will submit to you that Jesus knew a lot about the book of Proverbs. If you flip the page here in Luke, you will find that Jesus, some 18 to 20 years later, something like that, had a run-in with Satan. And Pastor Brian spoke on that a few weeks ago, I believe. And what I see in that confrontation are the little six. Remember when he dealt with the temptation? I see discipline in Jesus' answers. I see discretion in his answers, in his acts. I see discernment into what really matters in life. I see perspective. As Jesus says, what God requires is more important than anything that you could give me. I see perseverance in God, in Jesus' spirit, and I see prudence in his thinking. I see the little six. If you study Jesus and you look at all of his acts, his attributes mirror that of those mentioned in the book of Proverbs. So I'm going to take the Proverbs challenge. I've decided that I want to see if I can't think like Jesus and know what would Jesus do in certain situations. The book of Proverbs is a very, very practical book in there. As you read through it, you will absolutely find verses that you say, I got to get a colored pencil here and write and just mark this, because so many of them speak right to who you are as a person. And the little six words that I have, you might find six different words in there that mean something to you, an attribute of how you can live. So let's go back again and just read through these verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 1. I'm going to read it again here for you. In this, you will find the big three and the little six. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables and sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. If you catch that, all of these attributes built into Jesus' life, essentially, the answer comes with the last verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Other places in Proverbs, it talks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of knowledge. It talks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. And it refers to many times the fear of the Lord having understanding as well, the big three. So I want to talk for just a couple minutes on what is the fear of the Lord, because this seems to be the cornerstone of the foundation of the words that you will learn and build into your life in the book of Proverbs. What is the fear of the Lord? Bible school days, I do remember also one of the theology professors speaking on this topic. And he was very adamant. No, this is the fear of the Lord. You fear the Lord. And I had often heard that, well, that word fear doesn't really mean fear as we know it. It means reverence, to be reverent to God. And it does, actually. If you go back into the Hebrew, it means to revere or to have reverence for God. However, if you study that word very carefully, it says the fullness of reverence. This is like an I'm not kidding word. This is like you revere God. So it's absolutely imperative to understand the fear of the Lord, that we understand the word reverence. We have to understand that God is my maker. He is my creator. Not only is he my creator, but he is the one who consistently, day after day, gives me breath. And the fact that I have the ability to breathe is an okay from God. Okay, Daryl, let's go again today. And God has the right to take that away at any time. That is reverence. That is understanding. Now, the word fear has to play into this somehow. And I want to show you a verse that Jesus says. And the first time I read this verse, I mean, I'd read it a lot, but for some reason, a couple of years ago, I read this verse and I thought, ooh, Jesus, that sounds so harsh. Can you tame it down a little bit? But no, the fact is, we need to fear God. Let's read what Jesus says. So the setting for this, with these words from Jesus, I think it was portrayed really nicely. I don't know if you've seen The Chosen or not, but this is just before Jesus sends out the 12 on their little evangelistic trip to try and preach the gospel in that area. And I can imagine some of them being afraid of what's going to happen. You know, what's going to happen to me? Are we going to get hurt? Is somebody going to treat us poorly or whatever? Jesus says this in Luke chapter 12, verse 4. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now, I'm telling you, that's fear. That is understanding the parameters of God completely. He has that right and that power. We see in the Old Testament what we refer to as the wrath of God, the anger of God. And that word wrath, the Hebrew word, part of the definition is like the flaring of the nostrils. It's like a burning heat. This is serious, the wrath of God. We see the wrath of God demonstrated in the time of Noah with the rain that wiped out so many people because of sin. And the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, get out of that city because the fire and brimstone is coming. We see him unleashing that. Another account, when the nation of Israel is being led across the desert, a man named Korah stands up against Moses and starts to stir controversy. And Moses cries out to God. And God says, stand back, stand away from him and his family. And the ground opens up and takes him in. Now that's the wrath of God being unleashed. There's fear there. We are told to fear God. Let me get back to my story. Because while this is frightening news, the story gets really good. The story gets really good. Understanding true fear of the Lord. Let's get back to this pool match. You remember, I'll just refresh your memory. There's a ball right by the corner pocket. And Dennis is measuring it. The guy I'll call Dennis is measuring. He moves away and he says, I would do that shot right there. And he says, no, I can get that anytime. And then Dennis begins to take care of all of these problem balls down here, drop them one by one. Pretty soon, all of them are gone. The other opponent had a few balls on the table, and Dennis goes down to do the easy shot. What do you think happens? No. He sank that with authority. Boom! And then he sunk the eight ball. And you ask, why is that a story about God's wrath and fearing the Lord? Because I ask a question. I say, God, if you unleashed your wrath on the Old Testament and times in there with all of the sin that was going on, with all of the sin in the world today, why don't you unleash your wrath now? And God says to me, I can do that anytime. That for me is easy. It's like a ball waiting to be knocked into the corner pocket easily. I can unleash my wrath at any time. I would be right and just in doing so. But, Daryl, just like that little example that you learned in Bible school, I'm choosing to deal with these problems right now. The mess down here called sin. The second part of understanding the fear of the Lord is knowing and understanding the wrath of God, but marveling at His grace as He sends His Son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. And right now I think of three verses. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish or face the wrath of God, but have eternal life. For as many as will receive Him, to those who will believe in His name, to them gave He the right to become a child of God. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? From the wrath of God. The wrath of God was satisfied when Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And knowing this, knowing the full scale or scope of the fear of the Lord, I don't have to be afraid of the fear of the Lord. Because where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. God's grace far outweighs the sin that is in the world. Have you understand that? Have you partaken of that? It's there for all of us. So the fear of the Lord becomes so important, of understanding the fullness of God's wrath, what He's capable and allowed to and can do, but how He lets it sit there for a future time. I can do that anytime. But right now, I'm concentrating on the salvation of people. That's you and me. That's you and me. So the fear of the Lord becomes the key ingredient for understanding the attributes that Jesus had that go into answering the question, Jesus, what would you do? What would you do in this situation? So how about it? Worship team, you can come. How about the Proverbs challenge? It appears to be very important in the life of Jesus, in understanding how He lived His life, why He made the decisions that He made. So in 2 years, if somebody does this, I want you to come to me and say, hey, guess what? I was one of the guys or people who did that. Take 2 years to read through the book of Proverbs. Make a mark by every verse that means something to you. Take the Proverbs challenge.